Aaron, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
Doing very well, gentlemen. How are you?
Well, we're doing well. Busy day in the NHL. A few deals, and which leads me, of course, to the James Wisniewski situation. Now, I was looking at – I'm assuming Columbus, the team, missed the deadline because most of the no-movement clauses that that involve, like, a limit of 10 teams or 20 teams, you normally have to submit that list by July 1st. Right, so the Columbus obviously didn't ask Wisniewski to do this, and now they did it, and he's taking advantage of it and doing a little strategic numbering on which teams he doesn't want to go to. So did somebody in management drop the ball in the summertime?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I don't think you – I hope there's no deadline per se. It's you can – I mean, the fiscal year begins July 1st, so you can't ask for it that year, and it's applicable for that year of the contract. But you can ask for it at any point, to my knowledge. This is a little more revealing, certainly, than if they had asked for it last July 1st. This, you know, to ask for it a week before the trade deadline, or, you know, 2 weeks before, I guess it is, you go, well, there's something going on. But I don't think they dropped the ball. I just think things have come clear to them now that, the season has reached this point that they're ready to make a move.
Aaron, I'm wondering, do we have a real feel? Has anybody managed to figure out who was on that no trade list? Because there's probably some good teams on it.
I don't know specifics. I don't know. I won't say. In any exact team that is or is not on the list. I do know this. I was told this, that Wisniewski's desire to stay in Columbus is strong enough that they were strategic in their list. In other words, they didn't just pick 10 markets they don't want to go to. They picked 10 places that they thought were possible destinations for him. And some places that he probably wouldn't mind going if he had to go somewhere, some places that have that don't have the cap room or don't have a need for a defenseman, he left those places open as possibilities, and essentially to make it harder for the team to try to stay here. I'm not sure how the team feels about that, but I don't know that it really matters because they are the party that gave him the modified no trade. This is how the process is supposed to work.
Yeah, and you tweeted about that this morning. I thought it was very revealing, the information you did manage to get out there. And then we had Ray on earlier, and we're talking about that. I jumped in there with a comment. I didn't think it was a farce in terms of what the player did. As Ray pointed out, he negotiated the right. I guess where I'm coming from is I sort of feel you should either have a no-trade clause or you shouldn't. The partial ones allow for these kind of loopholes, and this is all Wisniewski's doing, is taking advantage of the language of his contract.
Yeah, which he certainly has the right to do. Even a no-trade clause, period, it's not a loophole, but how many times have you seen this where the team comes to the player and says, listen, we're moving you, and you can tell us where you want to go, that this is going to go down.
Yeah.
And the player reaches the point where, look, if you don't want me here, then fine, I'll go. So there's really no power in that, the way a lot of teams have handled it. I mean, we've all heard of a player over the summer who was told, we need you to waive your no trade because we're trading you. And the player said, no, you're not. I'm not moving. Yeah. And if you want to do that, buy me out. And I think players are starting to sort of crack back a little bit here. I mean, Wisniewski loves being here, loves the setup he's got here. He lives on Mirfield, which is the course that Jack Nicklaus built. There's a PGA event there every year. He lives next to Urban Meyer, the football coach from Ohio State. He has a set up here in Cleveland. I think he, honest to God, loves playing for the organization. He feels like he's really happy. He's never been in a place that long as he's been in Columbus, and he doesn't want to go. This is his part of his right, what he negotiated.
Aaron Sportsline joins. You're right. It's definitely what he negotiated, and it's smart. Like, clearly he wants to stay there that bad that he would put the 10 teams that he thought he could get traded to on the no-trade list. He's playing over 21.5 minutes a night. I know he's a 5.5 cap hit. He's got 2 years left. He makes $5 million in money next year and $3 million the following season. He's only 31 years of age. Why are they so inclined to want to trade him?
Well, they've not said that they are. We know that they are, but they've not explained this publicly, so I can only surmise. I think they want to change up their back end, and that's fine, too. I mean, I think you can certainly support that. They've had trouble in their own end this year. They didn't have it last year, but teams have come after them this year. They've had a hard time getting up the ice. And they love Jack Johnson, who plays 25 minutes a night, sometimes gets into 27, 28 territory. I think Wisniewski is of the big ticket defensemen they have. He's the guy that they'd like to move the most. And I think they also feel like they could get a decent return for him because of the numbers that he has put up, offensive numbers. But I have to tell you, I think James Wisniewski has been a better player this year than he was last year. Mm. He's certainly been a better player red line back than he was last year. He's been better in his own zone, which has always been his shortcoming. I think, you know, the mistakes, the problem areas of his game, I don't want to say they've been cleaned up and they're gone for good, but they've mostly been minimized, I think, by his play this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting, Aaron. Where would they be looking? I mean, obviously this is probably not going to play out the way it started, but if they have a desire to move him, you could get a very decent return. What are they addressing? Why do they want to move him? What do they need back?
Well, they've got a lot of depth on defense. I think they want to have a different look on defense next year. I think they feel like they've got enough offensive-type, power-play-type defensemen that they can part with Wisniewski. Mm-hmm. Not sure they may. I think they may regret that if they do pull this off. But the one thing that they've been chasing for a while now is a top six right winger. And I think Cam Atkinson could very well be on the move as well. If you remember, this team signed Nathan Horton. He's almost the forgotten guy because he's been out of the lineup for so long. That is a huge hole in their top six that you know, you miss that when you're counting on a player of that size and of that caliber and he's not there. That's something that they're trying desperately to fix. They don't feel like they're far away from being a very competitive team. Absolutely devastated by injuries. Over 380 man games lost now when they play Thursday against Montreal. They don't feel like they're far away, but there are some things that they would like to change.
Aaron, outside of injuries, is that, like, Columbus, when they look at this season, there are so many people at the start of the year was projecting them to be a playoff team. You know, they liked everything about them. The injuries obviously derailed that team. What else has gone wrong?
Well, I mean, the sheer numbers of the injuries have been devastating, but the players, the guys that have been out, I mean, God, you couldn't pick a worse cast of significant players to be out. But I think there's a larger issue here. I think the injury thing is legit. People don't like to use it as an excuse. I think it's absolutely an explanation. But it just seems like there's something else missing from this bunch. They don't have a captain by choice. It's been since Rick Nash has been traded, they don't have a captain. And I think you see a wayward team who suffers the brutal losses like they did last night to Buffalo at home. Somehow gets up for bigger games or games with players that are used to play for the opponent. Those games are fine, and there's no problem reaching a competitive level. But they tend to have games where it's just not there for them a lot of nights. And the injuries, for sure, it's there. But they're, you know, this team that's been playing now for a bit now with the same group of guys, they've had a wide range of performance, and they've got to figure that out. Every year they start slowly and they're chasing the game, and it doesn't look like this year they're going to get away with it.
Yeah, it's interesting, Aaron, and it's not excuses. I mean, you've told it straight before when this organization's been just a mess. so you don't sugarcoat it. And I thought they were headed in the right direction. I thought they'd be a playoff team. The injuries have been a factor. So how does it get back on the rails? It's not going to be one player, although you talk about it'd be great to have, I guess, a leader, for lack of a better term. How do you keep this headed the right direction, put a season full of injuries behind you? Because if you don't, that losing feeling can creep back in again.
Yeah, and it's never far away here in Columbus just because of the history. And, you know, I mean, I think you've got to take a hard look at the injuries. Why the injuries? I mean, a lot of these have just been flat bad luck. Jack Skilly today undergoing shoulder surgery out for the year. Those happen. They've had broken fingers. Those happen. They've also had, I believe at last count, is 8, maybe it's 9, abdominal surgeries in the last 2 years. Not groin pulls, abdominal surgeries, major surgeries. Hmm. Is there something in the way that they train? Is there something in the way that they put the players through the strength and conditioning? Are they doing something that's not right? Or is there something in the in-house that's the cause for some of this? I think all of those things have to look at. I worry a little bit. I think it's almost too easy to say it's just the injuries and it's bad luck. We're going to come back all together the same next year and give it a run. I think that's risky. I think you got to change things dramatically. Not sweeping changes, but they've got to make some significant changes this trade deadline and this offseason, I think, before they head into next year. And I think they want to do that. I think they're on board with that.
Now, Aaron, did you say 8 or 9 abdominal surgeries just in the last 2 years?
That's correct.
Wow. Now, I'm sure you've asked the team the question. Did they give you the, well, it has nothing to do with how we train them?
It's been asked about 7 times, about 4 different ways. They've looked. I mean, obviously, they would be foolhardy not to look. They're not turning over their books to us and saying, here's what we found, but they've absolutely looked at that. At last check, they've said they don't think it's anything that they're doing, that these things happen, and sometimes injuries of a certain sort come in waves to teams. But and I'll take it at that. I certainly have no proof that there's anything else at it. But it is something that I would not be surprised to see them make some changes in how players are trained or taken care of this offseason. I think it's something that they've got to look at. Anytime you lead the league in players being injured, man games lost, they're on pace to be well into the 400s, almost 500 for man games lost this year. It's something you've got to take a look at. And maybe it's to the point where you even need to bring people from the outside in, I think, to look at it and see what's going on.
Former Bonnyville Pontiac and now a member of the Columbus Blue Jack, Mark Letestu, who I know doesn't have a contract past the season, is UFA. Do you expect him to be dealt before Monday? And any other Blue Jackets you expect to be dealt?
Well, I think Letestu absolutely could be moved. And this is a bit of a surprise for me because I saw him not as a foundational talent, top 6 proven forward, but I saw him as a guy that they really liked having in the room and a guy that is incredibly flexible and can play on just about any line in some capacity. I know that he's extremely close with Todd Richards. Every coach has a guy in the room that they sort of go through to get to the rest of the room, and Letestu has always been Todd Richards' guy. So this surprises me that it's reached this point. The club has said that they were talking to Letestu. If you talk to Letestu's camp, they tell a different story. Nope, we're not talking. We've had no substantive talks. And anytime you've got a player of Letestu's worth, I think a lot of teams going into playoffs look at a guy like that and say, God, you can put him anywhere. He can play on the power play point. He can kill penalties. He wins faceoffs. Those guys have, come Monday noon, those guys have a lot of interest around the league. That guy being unsigned, I would be not at all surprised to see him on the move. And we mentioned Cam Atkinson earlier. I don't think they're selling him or trying to sell him like they are with Wisniewski, but I think it's possible. And another veteran defenseman, Jordan Leopold, who they acquired for a 5th-round pick from St. Louis earlier this season, if there's interest there, he could be on the move as well.
Aaron, always great to talk to you. Should be an interesting few days in Columbus and around the league. Appreciate your time.
It always is. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.